Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages. How are you? This is Glenn Greenwich calling in, and you're dialed into the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're doing great. And what we're going to do right now is we're going to make a quick call. I'm going to call our guest co-host. We're going to get this party started. Well, we actually already started the party, but we're going to, let's say we're just going to continue the party, right? See if we can make contact, and if not, we're going to do the Declaration of the International Black Summit. As we do to start off most of the calls, that would mean most all the calls. And we do that because the International Black Summit Declaration kind of sets the tone and creates the conversation and the purpose and the backdrop of what we're up to and what we're doing.
Thank you for calling. This is Henrietta Byrd. Please call back.
We're going to go ahead and get started with the Declaration. The Declaration of International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7, 1991. North, south, east, west, above, below, and within. A moment of silence for us and to allow the ancestors to participate and contribute to this blossoming conversation called empowerment of our community. Thank you. So that's what we got going tonight, and what we're going to do, we're going to talk a little bit about Christmas or the holidays, and the question becomes, what does it mean to you? So, one of the things that I don't like about the holiday is that a lot of it has to do with commercialism and the buying and selling of things and gift giving in some respects superseded the benevolence of being able to give something. You know, everything's, well, how much does this cost? You know, as if the cost is the worth and the value. You know, the cost is just happens to be the cost. It could be much more valuable or less valuable than what you paid for. But it's a value to the person that's giving it and value to the person that's receiving it. So all of that goes into the conversation. So that's one of the aspects of Christmas that I don't like, the commercialism, that tends to downplay and be the major point rather than a subpoint. But let me bring my vivacious co-host from Chi-Town, Henrietta Bird. Your mic is open. How are you?
I'm great, Glenn. How are you? Thank you.
I'm good. Welcome to the show.
Yep, I'm glad to be here. I was listening to what you were saying about the commercialism, and it's interesting because I love the holiday. I love any holiday, because for some reason it takes a holiday to get people to relax, and have fun. In our community, it takes a holiday sometimes before we can be with family and friends in a way that's like less stressful, I said less stressful. It doesn't alleviate the stress, but it's sometimes less stressful. It might be stressful on the person who's hosting dinner, because of that, but it's a time where people, we stop and we actually be with one another, And I like that. I like being with my family and my friends and their family and their friends, I like that. I'm a gift giver, so I like picking out that special gift, no matter how much it costs. There have been years where I've had $50 to spend on everybody. And I found that perfect gift. There have been years that I had unlimited money, to spend on that same group of people. And basically, there wasn't any difference in the gift that I purchased one time or the other. It was just being together and opening up the gift and seeing what it is and, knowing that somebody spent the time to pick something out just for you. I remember one time my daughter and I, we had very little money one year. So she said, Mom, why don't we just make the gifts? And so we figured out a way to make gifts, And since then, she makes gifts. She has the time. She knits. So she'll make everybody something. She'll knit it for them, design it for them. So it's like... the commercialism doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be. And we've talked often about in our family about not giving gifts at all, But I happen to like that part of it. My sisters have participated in not giving gifts, but I have never participated in that part. I don't care. I don't care if I don't receive a gift, but I still want to give a gift. Sometimes I've written a note or a poem or a letter and made it a plaque, put it in a frame. And those are the gifts that people, they hold on to, and they pull them out and they read them, So... that's all that's what I was just present to listening, to what you shared. Back to you, Glenn.
You're absolutely right. There is something special about gift giving, and to just express was very, I want to say touching, emotional. You know, when people give gifts and they put their all into it, it's kind of like cooking. You know, when you cook and you're loving and caring and you're putting that energy into the food tastes better.
Right.
Now, you may be using the same ingredients as somebody else, but it tastes better, you know, and gift giving is like that as well. So I can get what you're saying in terms of the opportunity to put yourself into it and to really take the time and effort to make it happen. Yeah, so I'm gonna give it, throw it back to you.
Yeah, there was another piece I wanted to just say a little bit about as we embrace all aspects of ourselves, you know, including rage and fear. I can remember being afraid 1 year that I wasn't going to have anything to give, you know, and I was so stressed. I was just so stressed about it, you know. I was trying to find ways to make money just so I could give those gifts, you know. And then I had to remember who I am, you know, or who I was being, and that fear did not represent who I was. It did not represent Christmas at all. It didn't make sense. But that's where I was, you know. That's where I was, and I mean I was in it. I couldn't sleep, I couldn't focus, you know, because
yeah, you're right. Henrietta, it's I've been in that situation as well where I haven't had a whole lot, and I've been, you know, and I remember some of the shows that we had in the past, we actually talked about making gifts and about giving things that were like cooking, like giving a gift of cookies or brownies or something that we made that didn't cost a lot of money. So there was an opportunity to do that as well. And it gets back to the giving of the gift and not the how much it costs and, you know, and all of that stuff. It really is about the giving, not the value and the worth of the gift. So I want to keep coming back to that because it should be about the effort and not the value or perceived value of the gift. And, you know, I think that a lot of young people miss out on that opportunity and that fact. and then I'm laughing because Seinfeld created this whole thing called re-gifting, which I thought was hilarious, but yet it's, you know, that's what it is. So there are a lot of aspects of this season and the giving of it, and whether it's Hanukkah or Christmas or Kwanzaa that you're celebrating, it's meant to draw out the humanity in each of us, and the gift giving is just a way of reaching each other on a humanistic standpoint. So that's kind of really what I see in this moment. Back to you, Henrietta. Yeah, back to you, Henrietta. Hello, can you hear me, Henrietta?
Okay. I couldn't hear for a minute.
Okay. Yeah, so.
But the last thing I heard was. No, I was saying the last thing I heard was about re-gifting.
Well, I thought that was like a funny thing that came up that is true for people, because that whole regifting conversation is you get something that you don't want, and so you give it away to somebody else, which is kind of it's kind of like energy. You know, it's not for you, so you keep it moving. You know,
right?
You know, it's kind of like answer. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just saying we've really been doing that for years. People in corporate America, they always get these gifts. You know, you get it from your boss, or you get it from your department. Somebody gives you something that you don't use. Like it could be alcohol. It could be candy or a gift basket. And then we take it and we give it to somebody else, you know, or we'll take it to a party that we're going to, you know, or something like that. The thing I think, and I didn't know it was Seinfeld that did it. I just heard about it a few years ago, right? And so what I realized is oftentimes you do get things that you're not going to use. You know you're not going to use it. It could be perfume that you can't stand. it could be something that doesn't fit, right? And you know you're not going to use it. And so you give it, you know. You find somebody who likes it or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. I like to shop, you know. I love to shop, and I really love shopping with other people's money because I was, you know, I was a personal shopper at Marshall Fields, and I had to make things fit into people's budget. You know, they had a certain amount they wanted to spend on something. So I learned how to get that sale. And it had me really get into the law of supply and demand. You know, if a person wants to spend $1,000 on a dress, there's a dress somewhere for $1,000. And if they want to spend $25, there's a dress for $25 somewhere. And it's simply because that's what they want. That's how I look at it. So the shopping that I enjoy, it's almost like a treasure hunt. It's like finding that item for the right amount of money. You know, it's like finding it. And I love doing that, like at Christmas time, because what it means is that I can take the money that I saved and do something more, or give more gifts, or include people that maybe may not be in my family or my close friends, you know, and I can get a gift for them. So it's I like that, you know, embracing all aspects of myself. That's one of the aspects of me, is that I really love to give. You know, I really love to give. I love to give all the time. And I love to, especially this time of year. Also another gift you can give is time. You know, you can go and spend time with someone. And, you know, you could pack lunch and take it with you to that person's house and just spend the day with them. You know, that's another really great gift, especially with elders, you know, with all the assisted living places. That's something that we can, you know, that's something that we can do, go spend time with the elders. Okay, I'm going to turn it back over to you, and I'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay.
Given there's so many different ways to do it, And there's a very interesting task, because what you're looking to do is to kind of understand how people are and what they might like and what their tastes are. And so it really is quite challenging when you think about it, because you're putting your taste aside and speculating on what you hope somebody else would like for themselves. And usually we try to do that without asking directly, which I think is the funny part about it, is that we act like we know or should know, certainly feel like we should know, depending on how long we've known the person. And it still is quite a hit or miss in terms of what, you know, how successful we are in that, the satisfaction level of that gift. And which is why this whole regifting thing has come out of the nothingness of Seinfeld, because they literally made up stuff about stuff, but actually, you know, created a whole new lexicon called regifting, which is, you know, quite phenomenal when you think about it. I don't know. It's just real interesting. Just real interesting as you look at it, and you look at the I look back at my daughter and her mother, and I've got these great sweaters that I've gotten for Christmas, and you know, I won't tell people about my wardrobe, but I'm just about to. But I've had some of those sweaters for 20 years, and I mean, they're still right on. They still look good. They still, you know, they're high quality. You know, you don't wear sweaters all year round, but, you know, if you take care of your stuff like anything else. And, you know, I treasure those gifts. I mean, I put it on, and I think about my daughter. I think about, you know, I don't think necessarily about that Christmas per se, but I think about Christmas time. I think about good times. I think about, you know what it's like. And also, Christmas time. Yeah, there's something about that as well. So all of that becomes part of what we're up to and what we're doing and what we'd like to do and, you know, all those good things. So it's just interesting. It's interesting that we're having this conversation inside of the context of holiday season, gift giving, the festivities of Hanukkah, Christmas, New Year's, Kwanzaa, are all designed to, support that whole conversation. So, to me, it's pretty interesting. It's pretty darn interesting, and it's pretty exciting and invigorating, and I gotta share something with you guys. My father passed away back in 1998 around Christmas time, and Christmas hasn't quite been the same for me. Hasn't been as festive. And on top of all of that, I still enjoy different aspects of it. It's a little tainted, but he passed away, and I remember his funeral was on the 22nd. that Saturday, and that was the Saturday, the last Saturday before Christmas, and everybody was, you know, the malls were all jammed up and everything was crazy, and of course I was on my way to the funeral, and, you know, wasn't feeling very Christmassy. So so I include all of that. You know, that's all part of the being that I am around Christmas and the New Year's and the holiday season. And, you know, especially the gift giving. So we want to hear from you all. What do you all want to say, do about Christmas? Henry, are you back? So, I mean, so that's, you know, that's kind of what it is for me. So that's where I'm at. That's what I am looking at, dealing with, having fun with, not having fun with. And actually, and so it's interesting because the not-for-profit I'm working for has a adopt-a-family program. And so one of the things that I'm engaging in is, you know, getting donations and monies and gifts to contribute to a homeless shelter in our neighborhood, in the vicinity of, you know, where the BID is located, Business Improvement District is located. And, you know, people do want to help the less fortunate, and that's a great thing. So, you know, it's just important. It's just important that we take the time out to help the less fortunate, because it is a tough time when you don't have money and you've got kids and you want to give them something. And, you know, I don't know all the financial situations about the people in the shelters, but I know they don't have their own home. And so, you know, that makes it even tougher. And if you're already trying to make ends meet, you know, it makes it, it's just tough. So here's an opportunity to do that for other people. You know, I must say that one of the things is when people champion other people, and sometimes people they don't even know. You know, when we think about people going into a burning building to rescue somebody, and they're not even from that neighborhood necessarily, but they just seized the opportunity and went for it. I mean, when that happens, that's, you know, giving them the gift of life. I mean, I don't know. I'm getting a little off track a little bit here, but you know, it's pretty interesting. Pretty interesting dialogue and conversation. So, anyway. Again, we want to hear from you guys. What are you guys hearing, doing, up to? Let me know if you want to open up your line. If not, we'll continue to engage. Got about a little less than 30 minutes left. And you know, we go from there. I mean, this is interactive. So this is not about you or I. This is about all of us. And your mic is open back up, my dear.
Okay, thank you. Because I've just been talking.
I know. I was like, well, what happened? And I looked and I was like, okay.
So, one really great gift you can give a loved one is to sponsor them to the International Black Summit 2017. It's
all
in
right,
Guyana. Man. Okay? It's in Guyana. It's the first weekend in August 2017. And you can go to blacksummit.org and register. And someone will send you all the information that you need. It is a wonderful weekend. And you can send a person or you can come with the person. But that's a great gift to send someone to the International Black Summit Annual Summit event in Guyana. So think about that, and or to join the summit support program, you know, for as little as $25 a month, you can join the summit support program. So that's another wonderful gift that you can give. And, you know, you can specify if you want that money, you know, what you want that money. If you just want to be a part of the summit support program, or if you want to donate a sum of money to pay for youth to attend, you know, just go to blacksummit.org and let us know how you'd like to donate, and we'll be more than happy to engage in a conversation with you about the many different ways that you can do that. So, again, that's the first weekend in August 2017. And I'm looking for that date. I can give the exact date. It's actually August 4th through the 6th. 4th, 5th, it's actually the 3rd because the prerequisite is on the 3rd. So August 3rd through 6th in Guyana, South America. Back to you, Glenn.
Yeah, that's gonna be wild and woolly, baby. August in Guyana. I'm looking forward to it. I am so looking forward to the conversation. We've got a couple of Guyanese that are facilitators. Actually two of the three of us have actually been to Guyana. I'll be to Guyana by the end of the year, and hopefully all three of us will be returning in August as well. So I'm doing a little front work in the conversation, which is good. It's all good. It's a good sign.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's nice. That's really, really nice. So can we talk about this Friday, what's going on? Is that okay or no?
Sure. Well, I'm being honored by the internet, by the NAACP Jamaica branch. Getting the Dora Young Service Award this Friday, so I'm pretty excited about that. It's actually my second honorable honoree for community service this year, so I have been recognized, and this time, this one is by an organization that is near and dear to most of us who have been in the struggle and experience of being African American in this United States. So I am pleased and excited about being honored.
I know. We're so excited, Glenn. When I say we, I mean the summit body, international Black Summit body, the body, everybody. We are so proud of the work that you've done and who you are being in your community. Because when you get honored, we get honored as well, you know. So it's like, it's so exciting, you know, it's so exciting to have watched you just these last 12 months just really step into just a new space, you know, just such a productive, powerful space of community and or community organizing and community awareness, you know, just being, having us be so aware of our community. We were, your name was mentioned in the leadership body meeting last night as someone who's been very, who's been a very great contribution to our prosperity and finance team. You know, I think it's just wonderful just what's happening with you. And it can't happen out here outside of you unless it's happening first inside. So you've done some very, very, very great work to shift. Yeah, I could just stop there, to shift. And I'm so, so grateful for being your friend and your sister and your co-host. And it's just, I'm just delighted every time I hear something. And I know, and as I keep telling you, this is just the beginning. You know, this is just the beginning. So thank you. And may you have much success in 2017, even more.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm looking forward to the opportunity that keeps unfolding, and you know, and this conversation about clearing, just keep clearing myself, clearing the way, staying focused around my vision and my intention. You know, there are a lot of things that come into color and flavor it. And so how do we open it up, that conversation, so that we can stay on track and stay focused and begin to manifest the things that we say that we want in life? Because that's really all it's about. It's about manifesting. But you've got to have the clarity about what it is that you're up to. So that's pretty exciting stuff for me, to say the least.
Yeah.
To say the least, my dear.
Yeah, yeah. And then to have such a wonderful vacation at the end of the year or the beginning of the next year, you know, of the new year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really great, really, really, really great. From the entire summit body, Glenn, we like to acknowledge you. You know, people have been doing it via email, but so it is recorded. It is recorded, mm-hmm. that we love you, we bless you, we appreciate you, we thank God for you, and may 2017 be greater than 2016 for you.
Wow. Okay. That's I'm looking forward to that. I am so full of 2016 that
I'm sure
it's actually hard to imagine 2017 being bigger, but given the tasks that are at hand, there's no other option. You know, by any means necessary, there's no other option, because we've got some great things that need to get delivered that are going to change the dynamics of this community that I live in. And, you know, one of the things that we say in the summit is, if you see it, it's yours.
Mm-hmm.
And because you can't go after something you don't see. And so if it is a fact you see it, and you need other people to see it as well, then there's only one opportunity but to keep enrolling people in and folding them into that conversation so that they can be in partnership with you and it gets done as a collective. So I'm hugely excited. It's just been one of those unfolding years, really. And I continue to keep making it even greater than it was. So that's my commitment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wonderful.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, we are moving into a new year, and as we do that, we want to remember to embrace all aspects of ourselves. Like we've been talking about that for over a year now, but this year we included two aspects that many of us did not know we had. And those aspects are rage and fear. And that was what we received from Ferguson, from our annual summit event in Ferguson. We really got a chance to look into our rage and our fear as individuals and as a collective. And as we embrace those two aspects of ourselves, it gives us some insight as to what we're seeing on television, what the news is reporting. You know, I walked a few minutes ago, I walked a mile, and what I found that was so interesting, I'm in Brownsville, a really nice area of Chicago that they're renovating. They're doing a lot of renovations here. It's kind of like Harlem in New York. This is the area mm-hmm. where all the black businesses were, you know, in the 60s and the 70s, and a lot of entertainment and everything occurred. This is also the area where people lived when they migrated to Chicago from the South. So they're renovating it now. Property values have just quadrupled in some parts of this area from just maybe 10 years ago. And you have people who are moving into this area, and you have people who have been in this area for 40, 50, 60 years, you know. And
mm-hmm.
so I was walking, and I walked from 47th, and you might know this area, in Cottage Grove to 43rd and 43rd over to the lake. And it was interesting that I passed the children who were getting out of school, and I was listening, just watching them just have fun, a middle school. And they were just having so much fun, just laughing and talking like 12, 13-year-olds do. And then I passed a group of kids that everything that came out of their mouth was profane. And the children that were having fun, now they're all the same age. The ones that were having fun, when this group came by, they just stopped and let them go by. And when they went by, then they started having fun again. And I was like, wow, look at that. Look at that. They stopped. They let them go by. And then they started having fun again. And so that was one. Okay. That was such a powerful message. You know, they didn't join in.
They didn't run. They just stopped. And I thought, oh, wow, you know what? What can I get from that? When things that I don't participate in walk up to me, you know, or walk past me, what's my reaction to it as I embrace all aspects of myself? You know, then I passed the guys that were just walking home, a lot of books in their book bag. I looked like, you know, not saying anything, not with anybody, just walking home, you know. Then I passed the guy with the sagging pants and the cigarettes, you know. It was just like all different aspects. All different aspects, right? And that's just, you know, just different. Everybody I passed was different. And I just when I look at that, like, those are those different aspects of me. You know, I could actually take on everybody. You know, the one guy with all the books is like, you know, when I want to get home and study, when I want to, you know, or I've had a long day of meetings or whatever, and I just want to get home. You know, that's how he looked. Like, let me just carry this heavy book bag. I got a lot of homework to do. You know, that's what I made up. And walking by himself and just going home or going wherever he was going. And so those are just different aspects me or aspects of my community that I have to embrace. You know, that I must embrace. And rage and fear, they didn't show up. They didn't show up. And there, had those been some different situations, it probably would have. You know, had I walked past a fight, had I walked past something or somebody doing something to somebody, you know, it could have been different. But because rage and fear didn't show up, I will, you know, it's easy to assume that it's not there, but it's there. You know, it's there. Turn on television for about 15 minutes and you will experience, and not television, but the news, specifically the news, and you will get to experience your rage and your fear. It's there. And so when we looked at it in Ferguson, we had a chance to actually see how we, cover it. We cover it up or step over it, or we, I can't remember that word we used. We hide it. We hide it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm asking that because this is December the 6th. And all kinds of things happen around Christmas time. I'm asking that we take a look at our rage and our fear and really look at it and see where it came from. Did we just pick it up because it was somebody else's? Did we pick it up because of an experience that we had? You know, did we pick it up because we were mistreated and we never let go of that way in which we were treated? Whatever it is, let's take a look at it this week and put it in a place where we can let it go so that when these things occur, they will not send us over the edge where the rage takes over or the fear takes over. You know, where, you know, I've seen people on the news say they just snapped. The person just snapped.
Wow.
And, you know, people who knew the person who did the shooting or did the whatever, that's one of their friends would say, I was standing right there, they just snapped. They just snapped. And see, when we don't address the rage and the fear that's within us, we step into that possibility of snapping.
Mm.
We step right into it. But if we look at it, if we have conversations, you know, if we say, just start a conversation with your loved in your love circle, you know, like, let's talk about rage. Let's talk about fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially men, you know, because men don't always get to do that. Men don't always get to talk about being afraid. You know, women talk about it more so, but they don't go in depth about being afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, let's maybe talk about it so that we can get it to a point where we can let it go. So that when something triggers us or reminds us of it, that we don't snap.
Yeah.
You know, let's back off from the things that are stressful, you know, and we don't even know that they're stressful sometimes. We just do it. We automatically do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just one of the things that I wanted to ask if we could do this week, like address our rage and our fear. Address it. You know, even if you're alone, if you're by yourself, you know, just journal about it. What are you afraid of? What is the rage about that inside of you when it comes to certain things? You know, and writing is a good way to get it out. It's just to write about it. And when you finish writing it, you can burn it. You can tear it up, you know, and throw it away, you know. You know, or you can send a letter to somebody or, you know, just something that will get it out of you. Glenn, I'm going to stop talking. We have about 5 minutes.
No, this has been good. You know, when we look at this conversation of rage that we're exploring, and I underline that we're exploring it together with you. So it's not like we know what it is and got something to offer you. We're in the inquiry as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing that I've noticed about rage, and maybe that is probably one of the aspects that I've noticed about myself that I've allowed to be since the summit is less things get me enraged, is what I've noticed. And what I notice is people are enraged all around me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. It really is interesting how I'm noticing. Like, I was in a meeting, I was leading a meeting last night, and one of the older gentlemen is long-winded, and he kind of gives you history, and, you know, he kind of goes around the bend and then comes back around the other side. And one of the guys, I could just see him physically getting twisted up, not wanting to listen to him. And it's like, all we're doing is listening. So, you know, it's like kind of interesting. But of course, you know, that's where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can't, you know, he is where he's at. And you can't, you know, you can't, well, you can, but but it's not useful to try and get him to be somewhere else. We might offer him some insight, but he's perfect with where he's at. And if you mm-hmm. want to interact with him, then that's fine. And sometimes you have to allow people to be where they are and not have to try to get them to be something that they're not or in a place where they're not. And we certainly, if we ask permission, we ask people if they want to be interacted with around this. And that's, you know, certainly an option as well. But it's just interesting to notice. You know, that's one of our principal distinctions, noticing. As I notice myself and I notice other people and I notice how I'm being with those other people in that situation. In the situation called anger, I was noticing how agitated he was listening. And the guy had a lot to share. But how often have I been agitated and not wanted to hear what was being said because it wasn't coming the way I thought it should be, and I missed the golden nuggets that were coming out of that person's mouth. So I reflected it back to myself to see, you know, where am I still not being listening fully? You know, what are the situations that I'm still not allowing myself to fully be present to so that I can get the nuggets that are being offered me, even though it doesn't look like or come at me the way I think it should be. So there's a lot to say about this conversation, rage, and the harm that is done to us as a society, and how I use it as an individual. So back to you, Henrietta, to close it up, and then I'll shut it down after that.
Let's just take a look. You know, let's notice. You know, just pay attention, maybe take a mental note, you know, maybe jot it down in your, you know, like rage and then fear. And like on Tuesday, such and such happened, you know. And I noticed that I was really, really irritated about that. Or I felt afraid when such this or that happened. You know, like, let's deal with it. Let's deal with this so we can be empowered by it, not disempowered. So this is the International Black Panther Talk Show Network, and it's Christmas time. It's time, a good time, right? And all of it, I think, is it starts like one day, like time to say. And then there's the other holiday, Kwanzaa Christmas. And Glenn, what's the thing that I'm trying to think of? The Jewish holiday.
The what?
Hanukkah.
Yes.
Right. A lot of people celebrate Hanukkah as well. So hold on 1 minute. So let's embrace our rage and our fear as we move into this holiday season.
Yeah, because one of the things is that the holidays can be quite stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Can be quite stressful.
Yeah.
So with that, this is the International Black Summer Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color from multiple cities and places. And we thank you for joining us. We thank you for the opportunity to listen to us. Please check out the website, www.blacksummit.org, for any pertinent information around the International Black Summit and where we're going and what hotel we're going to be staying at in Guyana, and any travel tips that we might want to mention to you. So we look forward to engagement with you. Peace and blessings. Good night.
Good night.